James. What the ever-loving fuck is going on?
Ever-loving? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's how you know it's for real.
It is for real. So it is Super Bowl Sunday today, as we record.
Oh, that's right.
It is. For those of you not aware, this is the day of the year where they play the last football game of the season, and rather than let actual fans go see it, they let a bunch of rich people go and sit in the stands and take selfies while the game is being played.
That's just zany.
Mm-hmm.
So that is Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm a football fan, as we know, and we also all know that I like to cook with fire. And I bought myself a nice brisket yesterday, got it all trimmed and ready to roll, and I got up early to put it on because it's a good, 8 to 12 hour cook, depending on what you're doing. And I get up this morning. Yesterday it was, did I mention it was almost 60 degrees here yesterday?
Nice.
Just 3 fucking inches of snow on the ground this morning when I got out of bed.
Yeah.
I had to shovel my way to my goddamn pellet grill.
Weather wackiness. It was 40 to 44 degrees the other day, Thursday, Friday, 17. And then it's going to climb up warmer, warmer, warmer through the week, and then it's going to crash again. So it's like this weird sawtooth thing. That's not normal for Wisconsin.
Hmm.
It's like, if it's going to get cold, like proper cold, it's going to be proper cold for like 3 weeks. And then you'll slowly climb out of it. But it's just been like seesawing all over the place.
I had to put on my boots and shovel to cook this morning. I'm not happy. So here is my call to action on this. Because this needs to be fixed. This just needs to be. I can't take it. It needs to be fixed in terms of the prediction. I know we can't control the weather, although I'm sure that's coming.
Mm.
It's got to be. But here's the thing. Our current state of meteorology is just abysmal. It's abysmal, and these people get paid a fortune. So I'm asking all of you out there that are thinking of going into meteorology as a profession, and keep in mind, this may be a surprise to you, James, but about 80% of our listening audience is in the 14 to 16-year-old group.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So they're looking at what to do with their lives.
Okay.
We have very young skewing population listening.
They're not
going to
be professional video game players?
I think probably a fair amount of them will.
Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of you, the money to be made in accurate weather forecasting, and don't put on fancy clothes and get in front of the TV screen with the green screen and all that. No, I mean, build an app, do it yourself, sell real weather forecasting with actual science behind it. I would pay for it because then I would have known not to plan to barbecue today.
Well, it's not snowing now, is it?
Yes.
Oh.
It's still coming down.
I didn't think the weather could stop you from
Well, it didn't. I went out, I went out there, I loaded things up. I've got my app on my phone next to me here. I'm watching the temperature as we go. The grill temperature. Could care less about the outdoor temperature.
Hmm.
But I am irritated, as may be apparent by my tone of voice. Because I got to keep it bundled up. I got to go out there in about an hour and wrap it in butcher paper and go to the next phase to get past the stall for my brisket here. And I got to bundle up to do it. That's annoying.
Well, I can't help you with that.
Well, when I slip and fall out there because of the excess snow and no one gets their brisket and I get a concussion, then we're all going to be sad.
Well, just make sure that for the love of God, you take your Zarf with you.
My Zarf.
Yes. In case you're having coffee from a cup that does not have a handle, you need an external handle made out of usually ornamental iron from the medieval period. Zarf. Z-A-R-F.
Okay. That's one.
Two, I already used zany.
You did? Oh, you did use... Okay, that one slipped by me because it's actually a normal word one could use in conversation. The Z's are out, everyone.
Oh, it begins.
This is why it pays to listen to the episodes in order.
It does, yes.
Mm-hmm. Watch us publish these out of order by accident.
Or on purpose.
Fantastic. Or on purpose. What's with the Z words today? Okay, I will try to make that the end of my rant, but I can't promise anything because I that's before my first sip of coffee, by the way.
You can't promise to try, but you'll try to try?
I will try to, yes. Yes, I think what you just said.
That's a great Bart Simpson quote. Mm-hmm. Mom, I can't, or Lise, I can't promise to try, but I'll try to try. I'll use that quite frequently.
I like that. I like that. That's we can't put it on a t-shirt because it's already a Simpsons quote. But
right.
I'm still writing it down because I'm going to try to use that in a meeting tomorrow at work just for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't promise to try, but I'll try to try. Yeah. Yeah. I think I can find a way to use that one.
The other one I use all the time for my team at work when people are irritating me when they haven't like actually used any brain power to think through a scenario is I said, so what you're telling me is you tried nothing and you're all out of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that many times mm-hmm. on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that one.
I do like that. And, you know, and again, there are things I can use that for at work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My favorite Simpsons quote, and I can never use it for anything as always, because that was the style at the time.
I don't know. Many of your rants could fall into the Grandpa Simpson category. So
many of my just day-to-day activities could fall into the Grandpa
That's true.
Category. All right. I think we have a topic for today that does not involve, meteorology and my being pissy. There might be. Let's see. So this was kind of funny because you had sent me a couple of notes about things. And thank goodness for autocorrect. Because you sent me a note and said, yeah, we were talking on the Discord about Chris, KRIS, in all capital letters. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, is that some new type of soil amendment I'm not aware of?
Turns out it could be.
It could be. Turns out that was a typo and you wanted to talk about KPIs.
I did, yes.
Which I think is a great idea because you and I both, you know, during the day live in that corporate world where KPIs are a very important thing, but also the bane of many people's existence.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially I don't know how or where they come from,
mm-hmm.
but everybody wants to talk about them. Once you determine something as a KPI, and for those of you who are not familiar with the vernacular here, key performance indicator. So what are the metrics you're using to, at a glance, like on a dashboard of information that would tell you how well you're doing, right? Oh, so because everything can be boiled down to an easy single executive summary bullet point.
See, and I've always thought of them as crappy, pissy incidentals.
Well, that too. Yeah. That's usually what actually ends up being focused on as a KPI and not like the actual important stuff.
Right. Right. So you've heard me say this many times, my favorite statistician and my favorite quote, which is, I'd rather have an approximate answer to the right question than the exact answer to the wrong question.
Yeah, but people don't focus on that.
They do not.
Certainly when they're at the executive level, they want to. There's a lot of confirmation bias going on there. So they're going to focus on whatever aspects seem to, you know, confirm their belief.
Exactly. Exactly. So to me, you know, I'm a metrics person for anyone not understanding that. I run numbers. I run KPIs and beyond KPIs. So KPIs can't be the only thing that you use to measure what you're doing. To me, the key with KPIs, even though key is in there, is the fact that these are the numbers that if they're in the zone they need to be in, you're good. You're looking for red flags with KPIs. These are the numbers where the numbers are indicators. They're not always numbers. I shouldn't say numbers. If they're hitting the right targets, then you can kind of breathe a little easy. Doesn't mean there aren't things to be done and things to be fixed, but you don't have any serious red flags unless one of these goes out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very judicious in what you call a KPI, because there are a lot of things you need to look at in your business, but you need to, more than about 5 or 6 KPIs is too many KPIs.
Oh, God, I have to have you come talk to our executives.
Oh, really? Way too many KPIs?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm not saying there aren't things that should be measured and tracked, right. But key, I mean, let's give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are if you have 30 seconds to get a briefing on the business or on the status of your hop yard, you know, do you really have time for more than, you know, 6 high level bullets? Not really.
No. That should give you a sense of which direction the wind is blowing per your meteorology rant earlier, right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. I'm right.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about this. One of the hopnologists on the Discord brought it up and was saying, how do you measure performance in your hop yard? And it was obviously the first place to jump is yield, right?
Sure.
And they're talking about, briefly talking about yield and X pounds per acre or whatever it happens to be. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. You have to determine, before you start trying to measure something, you have to understand what your ultimate goal is. Like, what is the most important factors to you? If it's yield, then you're going to be looking at cost of goods. How much can I make? How much can I grow? How much can I produce for as little as I can possibly input if I'm looking at profitability? Mm-hmm. Right. And this is all like in terms of, let's think of this in terms of profitability. And so it's like, well, I'm going to look at yield. I'm like, well, is that really the most important aspect to the profitability of your company? If your company is focused on producing volume at dollar, and you're really just trying to drive quantity of hops, and that's your main source of income, then okay, maybe you do need to look at what your costs are to produce and how much can you get out of it for as little as you can possibly put into it. That puts you on a slippery slope to value engineering, I might say.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, those drivers to your goal. Your goal is produce as much hops as I can for as little as I possibly can put into them to maximize my margin. Okay. So if that is your main driver, develop your indicators around that. So you can't develop your indicators unless you know what your ultimate objective is.
Very true. Very true. And that gets back to the asking the right questions.
Because I think people, at least small scale hop growers, initially think the thing that makes me quote successful, and we're going to use successful and equate that term to that is your goal, right? That's your driver, mm-hmm. being successful, is that
I'm picturing air quotes every time you use the word successful.
I'm actually, can you hear them through the mic? I'm actually using them because I don't know what successful means, frankly.
Mm-hmm. It's different for everyone.
It is. What are you looking at here as your very first, as a small scale hop grower, success? What is success? Maybe success to you is everybody knows your name in the brew house when you drop by, or it's free tickets to beer festivals. You know, what are you in it for? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you're running a business, you're like, I want this to be my gig and I want it to be sustainable. So I need to be profitable.
Sure.
Just using simple logic. They're like, well, in order to be profitable, I have to produce a lot of hops. I'm like, well, no, you need to sell the hops you have at a margin that is appropriate for your scale that allows you to earn enough in order to be sustainable. I think that's how I would measure success for a small scale hop grower. Now, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say whether or not that price point that you're selling at and that margin is supportable, can be supported by the industry, by your customer base. Mm-hmm. That's a different discussion.
Right. Well, I would think by definition, if you can keep the lights on, if you're able to operate the business in a profitable fashion, then by definition, aren't you selling at a price that is workable for your business? The numbers line up.
Yes, if that's the only source of revenue in your company.
Okay, fair.
Right, and that's where our conversation sort of diverged, and because I looked at it and I said, and we've said this before. And I don't know if people really understand what we mean when we say that when we were growing hops, our hops were the loss leader for our company.
Yep.
And people are like, well, what does that really mean, loss leader? That means, frankly, I'm growing and selling hops oftentimes at a loss. Mm-hmm. I'm not making, it's actually costing me money to do this. But I'm not looking at the revenue generation from my hop sales as the primary driver for success, as the, you know, KPI that's going to determine which way the wind's blowing for my company, because I had all these other more profitable aspects of the company that would not have been possible if I hadn't been growing hops, because that added a considerable edge of legitimacy to what we knew and what we did, right? I mean, we sold thousands and thousands of pounds of hops, we did, but I oftentimes did it at a loss, because when I looked at my overall strategy for the companies, at the end of the day, I want to have all of those individual companies, the greenhouse, the consulting, the equipment, the landholding, all that stuff. At the end of the day, all of those individuals' streams feed into what I consider to be profitability.
Right.
And if one of those is losing money in order to provide
cachet,
yep, to those others to boost their income, and their cost of operation is lower, great. It's like the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And that just blows people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a little bit sad sometimes to think about.
Yeah, that your single most cash flow intensive aspect of your operation is at best breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the amount of juggling that needs to go on from a cash flow perspective to drive that is intense.
It is. And, we'll get back to the KPI piece of this, which is you need those KPIs in order to know where those holes are in the business, if they even mm-hmm. are holes. Because to your point, it could have been better. We would have liked to have made money on the hop side, but it was not the worst thing in the world because, to your point, the business overall was profitable. And that was the point.
And we did make money on the hop side. I'm not like mm-hmm. telling people that it's like, oh my God, why am I doing this? You guys are been lying to me. No, this is agriculture. I mean, at best, you can hope to break even most years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you look at these other angles and diversify your opportunities to make you overall net profitable. Yeah. But there may be an individual portion of your operation that certainly is not. But if you weren't doing it, the likelihood of those other, diversified aspects of what you're doing probably wouldn't be as profitable as they are. So the KPI is going to tell you how big of a gap you have, and it's going to help you make those determinations for when to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
To say this thing keeps coming up, let's say it's green, yellow, red. This thing keeps coming up yellow 2 years in a row, and I'm doing this assessment, 3 times a year. So something's not right. And that should tell you, okay, now I got to look into what's causing that indicator to be yellow. What is it actually measuring? Am I measuring the right thing? Am I looking at it incorrectly? Blah, blah, blah.
And you said yellow there, so let's assume that not everyone has seen a KPI measurement. The standard KPI measurement is usually a traffic light measurement.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your red, yellow, and green. Green means, okay. I'm assuming everyone here has driven, except for maybe those 14 to 16-year-olds I mentioned earlier that are our key target demographic.
Well, yeah, I mean, tractors aren't usually, don't count in that. So
True. Yeah. So green, green means go. I feel like Elmo now.
Yeah.
Love of God. Green means go. Yellow means, just like it does in traffic, proceed with caution, or maybe take a pause and take a look around. So yellow means there is cause here to examine what's happening around you. And red means, dude, you're fucking it up. Let's take another stab at this.
Right. And that if you keep doing this, bad things are going to happen. It's okay to have those indicators be red every now and again.
Sure.
Because that's informing you of something. It's not like, some sort of video game where you got to keep everything green. Because if you don't, you're quote failing. No, that's not it. Remember, it's just data. Mm-hmm. So we're going on a tangent here. But
we are.
To get back to the KPI concept, how do you measure performance? First thing is you got to figure out what performance metrics you actually need to measure. And that goes back to knowing what it is that your business is there for and trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that what you started out doing and what you ended up doing changes. That means you're paying attention to those indicators.
Yeah, that's pivoting.
And you're going to pivot. So I was thinking about this last night and trying to figure what are the kind of the groups of or categories we could group hop growers into in terms of their objectives. Like what is their main performance drivers? And I think obviously the first one is yield, because we hear it all the time. Why is my yield so low? Why is my yield so low? Because they're looking at all the inputs that they're using, right? Whether it's labor or physical things. And they want to get more out of it for what they're putting into it. because in most cases, I'm guessing they're tapped out with labor. They can't physically put more in. They're like, what's going on? You know, I'm putting it absolutely, I have no more time. I can't hire any more people. And I'm only getting a third of the yield that is reported. Mm-hmm. So there's a margin of all of these operations to say, no matter what your main driver is, to make sure you've got at least a reasonable yield.
Right. And by reasonable yield, let's, you know, we've talked before about the yield other people say they're getting on Facebook is not a reasonable yield. The yield that you built into your business plan as being required for profitability, that's your target yield.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, hoping that you were reasonable and talked to enough people to actually plug in numbers that are realistic and not just whatever was published by the PNW.
Right. Well, they're listening to us, so they know how to do research.
Oh, well, I hope so. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So yield, I think, is the primary go-to. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to measure. It's not okay to measure. I think it's fundamental to measure. But putting all of your eggs in that basket, and that's being the only thing you're concerned with, is likely going to give you a false indicators on either the red side or the green side, because there's other indicators in your business that I think are a better measure of the health of the business than just what your yield is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people also don't think about. They just think about, well, I'm a hop grower. I got to get out here. I'm going to grow my hops. And the really what it comes down to at the end of the day is how many hops I can produce. Well, no, actually, it doesn't. If you want a sustainable business, and I don't care whatever it is, your revenues that you generate are greater than your costs to generate them. That's it at the end of the day. That's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And you could be driving for yield and yield, and absolutely have your yield topped out and maxed out. And, you know, you're like, hey, man, I made it. How much did it cost you to do that?
Right.
And are you profitable now? Maybe not.
Right. If yield is king, if it's the only thing you're going for, the amount of hours you're putting in, the amendments you're putting in, all the things you're doing to cap out that yield, I mean, diminishing returns start to hit after a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my thought is I think a better measure of business or operation health is looking at your cash flow. And to say, where is that cash going? And granted, your labor is not free, so we're going to include your labor in this. And to look at it and say, how am I spending the resources that I've got? Because ultimately, that's what it's about. How do I take and use the resources and put them in the right places to affect the outcome that I am most concerned with? Because if you're looking at your numbers, and you're like, I'm just going to make up a number. I'm spending $3,000 a month in part-time labor in the summertime. That's gone into effect. That's allowed me to increase my yield by 10% because of, I don't know, better weed control or whatever. Well, does that 10% increase in yield even come close to offsetting what you just spent on that labor?
Yep.
Probably not.
Probably not.
You know, now if you've got 1,000 acres and that 10% can be a big deal and you're only spending $3,000 on labor, you're like, woohoo, I absolutely killed it. But it's not likely going to be the case. Where are you spending your resources? This is to help identify, I think, what the actual drivers are for your business. Where are you spending your resources and are you spending them appropriately? Because that's what the indicators there are, what you're going to want to measure. So let me give you an example. If I'm looking at cash flow as a main driver and to my profitability, I'm looking at how much is coming in and how much is going out. I'm not talking about profitability. I'm just talking about cash flow. Because I can, based on, let's say, charting my business, I can say, this is about how much money I spend at this time of year for these certain activities. And I know what I'm going to get out of that. If I look at it this year and suddenly say, holy hell, I'm spending way more this year than I've had in the past 2 years on this. That should tell me something. Mm-hmm. Why? Am I doing that on purpose? Am I doing that reactionarily? Why am I doing that? And that tells me something about my operation, that if that comes up yellow or red, you're like, oh, slow down. This is telling me something is not balanced. Go look more deeply into that and see what comes out of it.
Yep. And, you know, you talk about balance all the time on Backyard Brew Farm, and we talk about just beer formulation and balance is so important. It's equally important here in the business. And, you know, you have all green KPIs and one red. Is it an outlier, or is balance wrong? The balance mm-hmm. in your business, because all of these things require the 24 hours you have in a day.
Right. That's around this concept of just general productivity on your farm. So if you use this cash flow as a metric to drive a KPI, we can also look at that, let's say, in terms of your overall operation. So you can say, okay, I've got my production, just my field production. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're a processor. Are you processing for other people? Okay, how much does it cost? How much are you charging for that? How much does it cost you to actually do it? And what are you okay with? If it's negative, like if it's costing you more to do than what you're making out of it, but it's ultimately a cost that you're happy with or you'll accept because it drives your business forward in other ways, okay, great. But you need to keep that in mind when you're setting that KPI, yeah, such that it's like, I know that number, the quote successfulness of it, isn't around profitability. So if I'm tracking cash flow, I'm expecting it to be negative mm-hmm. for those aspects. Am I going to be happy if it's positive? Awesome. But I'm also going to be like, why? Why is it positive suddenly? What happened?
Yeah, that could indicate a problem.
Exactly.
Did I forget to pay something?
Yep. Or what's going on? Just because it's quote good, right, that you're suddenly on the profitable side where you thought you were on the negative side before, doesn't mean that it's a good indicator. That indicator means that you're doing well. It could also warn you of something else.
That's a good point. The unexpected needs to be investigated. Let's just say it that way.
Ding, 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 ding. Woo. Yeah. It's like, hey, all right, I'm not just taking this. I'm like, hey, I've got an extra, $2,000 this month. I'm going out. And I'm like, wait a second.
That probably was supposed to be somewhere.
Exactly. And that's happened to me more than once. And you're like, oh, crap. What? Mm-hmm. Where is this? What didn't I pay? I'm like, insurance premium.
Oops.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, real right? excited for about, half a second and then realize something is amiss.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, wah, wah. Okay, well, at least we're back to where it's supposed to be, so I'm not too crazy now.
Yeah. You find yourself hoping for just a minute that you're really that bad at math. Mm-hmm. And that you had planned wrong.
That has happened too.
Well, yes. Sometimes that can be a nice little surprise.
That has happened too. I'm not going to lie about that.
So cash flow. Yeah, we've beaten to death over the years how important cash flow is. Yep. But yes, to your point, it's not a strictly linear measure where if you're here or higher, you're green. No, you got to look for things that are off kilter.
I use cash flow as a kind of nuts and bolts example of just business operations mm-hmm. and how your key performance indicator is ideally something that is coming. It's a lookout point, right? It's one of those scenic overlooks of your entire process where you have to be paying attention because you want those indicators to tell you something before you get to the end. Mm-hmm. They're there to inform you of the health and well-being and direction that your operation is going. So
yeah.
That's it. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, and ideally they're there to give you a sense of an impending problem, not a problem that is already too late to fix.
Correct. Yep. Indicator. Mm-hmm. It's like that dummy light on the dashboard of your car. The engine light comes on. You're like, should I do something about that?
The answer is yes. Always yes.
It's like something's wrong. It could be I'm out of wiper fluid. It could be my transmission's going to explode.
So my first car, when as a teenager, the wiper fluid light was broken. like the Wipfood sensor was broken. Mm-hmm. So the light was always on. It always beeped at me. And this was back when it was the rage to have cars that actually spoke to you.
Oh, sure.
So this would say, oh, you know, your wiper fluid is low. The best is it would say your door is ajar.
Your door is ajar,
and so
yes.
My friends would open the doors when I was on, you know, on the highway and stuff like mm-hmm. that, just to hear the car talk. That was always freaking awesome. Thank you, friends.
Yes.
But yes, wiper fluid. I have a very personal relationship with the wiper fluid is low light because I sometimes see it in my eyes when I close my eyes as I'm going to sleep at night because
wow.
I spent so many hours staring at that light.
Wow. That's
that little insight into my psyche.
That's a lot to unpack.
It is.
We're not doing that here.
Oh.
But what about, so outside of just straight up nuts and bolts operations, I was thinking of, well, what are other things that are important to people's businesses that they want to measure along the way? And I thought about, what about like market presence?
Mm.
Like, how do people know you're out there? How do you measure that? And is that ultimately, oh, yes, it's an important thing. But it's like, how do you metric that? And that's not something I was ever very good at. I kind of did it by gut based on how many people knew me.
Right.
But how might one measure that in sort of the market presence sense?
Yeah, and that's really interesting because when you're talking about major brands of standard, you know, car brands as an example, mm-hmm. you do things like recall studies. Where the first thing you ask a random sample of people is, name some car brands that come to mind. And if you're not one of those first five brands that come to mind, well why not? That's what you want to be high on their recall list.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite appropriate for what we're talking about here, although maybe a bit, depending on your local market. You know, when you think of local hops, who do you think of?
Mm-hmm.
But getting in front of brewers and asking those questions, it's hard enough to get in front of them to sell them anything.
Right.
Never mind doing a little research.
Correct. But if we look at other industries in sort of understanding where they sit in as far as market awareness, market presence is concerned, I mean, I don't know, take outdoor sporting goods, for example.
Mm-hmm.
How might one measure that? You know what I mean? How do you figure out what your market presence is compared to others?
Well, you look at good choice, by the way.
just
randomly, just
random rolled off my tongue.
Random choice. Mm-hmm. You look at your share of shelf. So when you go out there and you see who's using these products, how many of your brand are in a local sporting goods store versus other brands? Because that in and of itself, if you're not in front of the consumer, then you might as well not exist.
So, I mean, I think we could equate this example to what portion of your brewer's hop freezer, and God, I hope they're in a freezer.
not sitting in front of a window?
Right, not sitting in front of a hot window. What is, if you're allowed in there, most brewers will let you look in their coolers and whatnot, but take a survey of what other labels are in there and what percentage do you make up of their labels
mm-hmm.
and how does that match against your goal?
Yep.
And you may not have one. You may be like, just buy my hops, please. Mm-hmm. But I mean, once you get a little bit more established, take a look at that, because I looked at that stuff to say, wow, you got an awful lot of so-and-so's hops in here, right? Let's say a hop grower in Michigan. And I'd be like, what? I have Cascade. You got an awful lot of this farm's Cascade in here. What's going on?
And it does depend on what kind of a grower you are and what your goals are there. So, for example, you may not care about being a large percentage of that brewery's freezer as long as you're in the freezer of as many breweries as possible. And that's a measurement called participation. You know, what is the market participation in your product? The flip side is maybe you want to focus on four or five breweries where you've already got a strong relationship, they know you're delivering quality stuff, and you want to max out their purchase from your freezer. And that's those are two very different – those two metrics measure the same thing in the sense that you're trying to get your hops out there, but you're going about it in two very different ways.
So you're looking – if you're not – paying attention to those indicators for that aspect, let's say, I'm starting to notice a shift in my presence in any given brewer's cooler. Less and less of my label, more and more of other people's labels. That's going to tell you something about your next harvest or what have you, about what your expectation is going to be for sales, even before you go and ask for that sale. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at that saying, wait a second, why is this shifting? I still have Centennial in my freezer, but they're buying Centennial from this other place that wasn't there before. What do I need to do in order to change that balance? Because you don't want to wait till it's time to go with hat in hand asking for the next sale on Centennial when you already missed that opportunity because of something that you observed of their habits earlier.
Sure. Sure. And knowing, you know, we're talking very high level about percent of that freezer space. But if you do see that your percent of that freezer space starts to go down, you start asking why. Well, mm-hmm. as you look and you see, ooh, they've just brought in a bunch of hops from New Zealand that I don't produce. Okay, well, this is a mix shift from the brewer. It may have nothing to do with your product being, you know, not what they expected it to be. It may have a lot more to do with, okay, you just don't have that in your selection.
Yep, that's okay.
And that's okay, but it's a different response you have to put together than a, they're buying their Cascade from someone else. And why is that?
And what might that tell you about, it's not just, yeah, your percentage in the freezer, but looking at their portfolio, is it shifting? Mm-hmm. And how does that inform what you might need to do with that customer? And, you know, what is your confidence that they're going to be a customer if they are shifting to all New Zealand of proprietary varieties over whatever it is that you've got? That tells you, informs you something about how you need to try and sell to that brewer or how difficult that sale is going to need to be in the future.
Yep. It opens doors too to, hey, you know, they're interested in trying new things. Well, you know, I've got some new things that maybe, you know, we've been talking Cascade for so long. I've been working so hard to get you out of that contract you're in for Cascade. But you know what? I'm doing this and this, which you may not have used before. And did you know you could use them in X?
The other thing, you know, in this aspect of KPIs, using these metrics, these are not things that shift quickly and dramatically usually. So it's not something that's like, okay, I'm going in there every month or every 2 months and I'm seeing these wide shifts. These are things that take time, and it's not something I would expect these indicators to inform even maybe your year-to-year changes. These are things that track trends and usages and things like that, but they are indicators. So you may not be measuring these things every quarter or every month. You may be measuring them every year. You may be doing an assessment of your 10 biggest customers, saying, how has their usage changed?
Yep.
What is that data, you know, what are the results of that? And how does that affect the indicator that I put there to say, are we good? Do I keep doing the same thing I was doing? Is this something to watch? Or do I need to change something?
Absolutely.
That's how I see those things working. So it's not a simple question to answer, this whole concept of KPIs and how do you measure performance? Well, to wrap it up, you got to know what your main performance drivers are. And then it's not just a physical operation measurement. You have to look at all aspects of your business and determine how those main points, those main focal areas impact your overall success rate.
Yep. And the three that we listed here, I mean, they're perfect high-level examples because one is about the checkbook. One is about the field, and one is about the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of different ways to approach those. You know, I would love to give Trader Joe's access to my garage freezer and let them kind of decide how that could change what they're putting out there. Because there is a story to be told if you look at my freezer every 6 months about Trader Joe's and their product selection.
I thought you were going to say just the cases and cases of candy cane peppermint JoJo's that you have stacked up.
Is that too? Yeah. Those don't stay long enough. But I am irritated, as may be apparent, by my tone of voice.